Lord, we love you this morning. Lord, we love you. Oh, Lord, we love you and we adore you, Lord. Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. Lord, we love. Oh, siyabonga baba,
saints. Let us turn in the Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 from verse number 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for another Sunday that you have given us this morning. Lord, we are so grateful that we could come to church once again, Lord, while it is still possible to meet, for we understand from Scripture that one of these days it will not be possible. So we thank you, Lord, for this grace, Lord, that you have given unto us. May you bless us now in thy presence, Lord, as we look into these Scriptures in this Sunday school service. We commit it into your hands, Father, and we remember even our sister Priya and her son in the hospital this morning. Lord, may you undertake for Sakti's, Lord, that all may go well. And we pray for our sister Gloria in great difficulties over there in Ghana. Lord, may you undertake for her also. We commit the saints to you now as we commit this service to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. May God bless you this morning. It's wonderful to be back after we have been away with the children, and I was away before that, and I'm sure you will hear a bit more of a report of that later on. We have just read in the book of Acts there where the church was increasing, and there was an issue that came about among the saints that some thought that things were not fair, and their widows were not getting ministered unto, and so forth. So when this was reported to Peter, and the disciples of Christ, which were the apostles at this time, they say that, look, we are too busy, you know, looking into the word of God and spending our time in prayer. Let us choose men among you that are going to do this work. So that's where we saw the coming of the first deacons in the church. And the way they did this, it says in the Bible that they brought all the congregation together, and among them, they then choose. It says, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And these were the people that were taken out of this congregation. So I would like to ask you this morning to picture this in your mind, that there's a whole congregation. There were many people. Remember, there were 150, I think, in the upper room. And then there were 3,000 that came on the day of Pentecost that were baptized. And the church kept on increasing and increasing. So this was a very big congregation. And the work was a lot of work for these apostles. So they chose seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So imagine this whole group of people, and they had to choose seven people among these people to be the first deacons in the church. In a way, what they were doing was that they were looking at a whole field of wheat that has been planted. And they were looking at the part that had first come to maturity and taking that and lifting it up before the people, say, these will be the deacons that will deal with these issues. We find this in the book of Leviticus, where the Lord was speaking to Moses, and he said that the wave offering, when you have planted your fruits and everything is in the field, you go and choose the fruits or the wheat that has first come to maturity. And you bring that to the priest, and he's going to wave it before the people in a way saying that the rest of the field is going to come to the same level of maturity. Now, we know that scripture has compound meaning, and this was actually referring to Jesus Christ. Because if we read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 20, it says of Christ, but now Christ is risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. So you find this same concept coming through here again, that of all that slept in Christ, God raised Jesus Christ up and waved him before the people, and he became the first fruits. In a way, testifying that the rest of them that are sleeping in Christ shall come to this same estate that Jesus Christ was in. We find the same again in the book of Revelations chapter 14, speaking of the Jews, the 144,000 that shall be killed. And it says in Revelations 14, verse number 4, Revelations 14, verse number 4. My pages are stuck today. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among the Lamb, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So the same concept again is running through here, that the 144,000 that we know are going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll be killed for that among the Jews. And their death is going to be very much a public affair, because it will be broadcast, and we saw how that is possible now. And they are also being here spoken of as the first fruits, that the Lord is going to take them from among all the Jews and wave them before the people, that these are the first fruits, showing that the rest of them will come to that estate. So that's why we say this scripture is compound meaning. Now, when they did this in the book of Acts, that they wanted to choose men among them, they chose men filled with the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, and they took those from among the whole congregation and waved them before the people, in a sense showing that every one of them should come to this estate. Now, I would like to go to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy. When Paul came around, he put order around this and he gave us the qualifications of a deacon. Following after what the apostles had done in the book of Acts, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, from verse number 8, Paul speaks and he says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy or filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let this also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if we think of these qualifications of a deacon, it's a very strict thing. You know, to list all the things that Paul has given us here, to say if a man wants to be a deacon, he must meet these conditions. You might begin to think, so does it mean that God has a different standard for everybody? No. God has one standard for all men. Especially when you look at what we have just been talking about the wave offering and how the whole field is going to come to that level. So here Paul is speaking about a man that has come to the full stature of a perfect man. Even though we use this now as qualifications for a deacon, be under no mistake, it is expected of every one of you as well. So I would like to speak a little bit about this, being that it's a very momentous time for me. I remember 15 years ago, when Brother Andrew spoke to me and he said, oh, brother, we will look at these verses, you know, 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 to 13. And I read them and he started to discuss with me about being a deacon. I felt that I was too small to do this kind of work 15 years ago. But it so encouraged me in verse number 13 that it says, they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree. So I went and printed this verse and pinned it above my bed. And for many years we kept it there because I desired to get this good degree as well. It's been a very long time. I've done a lot of other degrees. They took a lot shorter time, but this one took a lot of time. But the time has now come that I should say I've graduated, you know. We should leave this work to other brothers coming up. And my time is coming up now to lay down this office and go on and do other things. But as my parting message in this office, I would like to look at these qualifications of a deacon, just so you know, it's not only for deacons, but it is for everybody. We should all come to this same estate as believers. And Paul here says, likewise, the deacons must be grave. And I went to look and see, what does it mean, you know, that the deacons should be grave, Brother Eli? does it mean we should be without any fun at all, you know? When you come to us, you know, we'll be like, you know. But no, it means that we are serious or solemn, you know, very earnest about the word of God that we claim to represent. Because in a sense, God has lifted us and waved us before the people and say every one of us should come to this state. Now, if you are somebody who's lackadaisical, like they say, yeah, about the word of God, that's not a good representation of God's kingdom. Deacons must be grave. They must be very serious about the word of God. You know, when the word of God, a man should keep his hair short, some people take a bit of liberty there, but we deacons must be grave, you know. We must be a true representation of this. It doesn't mean we don't make mistakes, But our motives are always to be the kind of person that is not carefree about the word of God. We should err on the side of caution, and that applies to every believer in here. They should not be double-tongued, he says. And that means saying one thing to one person and another to another person. That shouldn't be a believer's testimony. That, who told you that, brother, so-and-so? You better take that with a pinch of salt. No, you should be a person of one word. Your yes should be a yes. Your no should be a no. You shouldn't be double-tongued and you say one thing to one person, another to another person, and then to the same person you come back again and you have a different story. No, 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 no. Like Delilah was like that. She comes to Samson. I love you so much, Samson. Oh, if you love me, you better tell me this. But inside she knew what she was saying. She was lying. She was only doing this for the harm of this man, and that should never be something that a believer should be. They say that he should not be greedy or filthy lucre. That's money. Money that is earned dishonestly. I mean, deacon, how can a deacon go and earn money dishonestly, you know, and you actually love to do that? No. No, and it shouldn't be only deacons. You see how God is serious about who represents him. Because a deacon is God's policeman, and a policeman is a representation of the law of that country to the citizens of that country. So if a deacon is God's policeman, he is a representation of the law of God to the citizens of God's country. And every citizen should live according to the law of that land. So this should not only be for deacons, that they should not be greedy or filthy lucre, even every believer too. Amen. It should never be mentioned in your testimony that you were like Balaam. You know, God spoke to Balaam. God has never spoken to you the way he spoke to Balaam. And he told him, do not go with these men. But he wanted to go anyhow, and he comes back to God and says, shall I go? Because there was a reward that had been mentioned, that if you come and do this thing, I'll give you money. And that's where his heart was. He had such love of money that he had to go in God's permissive will to earn this filthy lucre. And that should never be something deacons do, isn't it, Brother Eli? There's been many opportunities where we could have and a lot of money. You know, they told me I could sue the doctor that done these things to me, and I could be a millionaire. I thought we could buy a church then, brother, and a jet. But we can't do that. The Bible says that we shouldn't be suing people and things like that, and I cannot do that, because I must hold this faith in a pure conscience, which is also one of the requirements, that they should hold the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. That all my motives should be right. When I come to stand before you here, I should have a pure conscience before God and speak this word of God. How can you do that when you do things that are not right? No, it's not only for deacons. It is for every one of us. They should not be blameless. Our time is going, but we won't go into that. And they should not, and it says about their wives, that they should not be slanderers. And what is a slanderer? Is a person who damages the reputation of another by making false accusations, false charges. These charges, these things may be actually rooted in the truth. There might be a lot of truth in what you are saying, but it's the way that you say it that what makes it a slander. And I would like to read, if you can put for us here, Numbers 16, verse 13, just to look at that for a few minutes. Numbers 16, this was Dathan, or was it Korah, who was speaking to about Moses. Because Dathan had come and challenged Moses, Say you take too much upon yourself. And Moses said, you go and call Korah to come here. And this is what Korah had to say about himself in his report about Moses. He says, is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land that flows with milk and honey? Now, Egypt might have flowed with milk and honey, but that milk and honey did not flow for the children of Israel. They were slaves there. They were laboring under hard bondage, but he is taking the truth and mixing it with another truth that should not be mixed together and saying that about Moses. That's slander. He was trying to damage the reputation of God's prophet. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land that flows with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? Did Moses kill people? No, in fact, Moses went before God and said, Lord, don't do this to these people. Because God had said, I will do away with them, Moses. And Moses went and said, Lord, don't. You would rather kill me instead of these people. Because what would the people say? But now look what the people are saying. Moses brought us here to kill us. In fact, when they died, when the earth opened and swallowed them, the whole congregation stood up before Moses and said, you have killed the people of God. You see where it came from. It was the slander that began with this man. And he said, you have brought us here to kill us, except thou make thyself altogether a prince of us. That's not what Moses wanted to do. He wanted to bring the children of God to the promised land. But they are saying, you have brought us here to make yourself a prince of us. That is slander there. They were slandering his character. I think verse 14 has got something a little bit. Moreover, you have not brought us into a land that flows with milk and honey. This is what Moses had said, I'll bring you to, because that's what God had promised. And simply because it had not yet happened, you see how he was using the truth, but twisting it in a way to damage the reputation or the character of this prophet of God. And deacons' wives should not be guilty of such a thing. It is not only a requirement for deacon's wife, it is a requirement for every brother and every sister that you should not be guilty of slander, especially against another believer. No, no, that should not be happening among us. They should be sober. They should be faithful in all things. What a life. Isn't it so nice to know that I've done the best that I can? I mean, there's not a single day. I have only one day that I regret. I wish I could go back to that day and undo it. But by God's grace, my desire at that time was to just leave. You know, I was like, I'm tired of this. You know, it's too much upon my shoulders. One day I said to my wife, I'm sick. I'm not going to church. And I went to bed. It was a Friday night. Because I didn't want to come to church. You know, it can put you under pressure sometimes to be a deacon. It's not as much as being a pastor. But it was too much for me, I thought. So I went to bed, you know, I actually went into bed and covered my head, you know. And my phone was ringing. I said, I will not answer it. And it rang and rang. I said, I will not answer it. And then I picked it up and it was saying, Pastor Andrew. I said, who? He's calling. So I picked up the phone and he said, Brother Will, where are you? We are here at church. Nobody has got keys. The church is locked. We are trying to get in. I said, I'll be there in 10 minutes. That was God's grace to me. That's the only time I regret that I didn't give the best that I could. But in all other times and in all other places, for 15 years, I have served, according to my own understanding, as faithfully as I could. And that shouldn't be just for me or for Brother Eli or for Brother David. It should be for every person that you look back in your life and people should say, he was a faithful brother. She was a faithful sister. Every time she came to church, before she left, she made sure the church was clean. That's a good testimony to have. It's not only for deacons, Brother Clayton, but for all of us. They should be the husband of one wife too, you know. We don't have that kind of a problem here by God's grace, but this is God's desire. They should be the husband of one wife, not two or three. We won't go into that. And they should also be ruling their children and their own houses well. What a testimony that is. To come here and stand before you, saints, and speak of the word of God and how the Father is a loving Father and that we should be a reflection of Him. And my children will be sitting there looking at me and say, yes, that is true, because Father is like that at home. But what a disgrace it is to come here and stand here and say the same thing, but the children are looking at me and say, that's the biggest hypocrite we have ever seen. Or my wife looking at me and say, he's a very hard man at home to deal with. But he comes here and he stands there and smiles and says the word of God. Oh, it's a stumbling block. And that shouldn't be only for deacons. It should be for every brother. Because many times we ask, brother, come and pray here and open in a word of prayer. Come and pray, close this meeting, you know. And you come here and that morning you were holding your wife by the neck and pinning her against the wall, you know. No, saints, we can't do that. Not only brothers, but sisters too. You know, you can't mistreat your husband at home and then come here and you want to clean the church and sing a song here and everybody says hallelujah, amen. And your poor husband looking and saying, if only they knew. It's not right. You know, we shouldn't be like that. And when those things happen, when you have used the office of a deacon well, when you have used the office of a saint well, because these things apply to you and to me, the Bible says they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree. And I want you to have that. I want to have that too. Even though it's been 15 years and it's time to lay it down, I do not say that I have acquired. I still have a bit of shaping to do, just like you, just like anyone else. But if we strive to live our lives like this, what does the prophet say? Jesus was the first deacon, and he was all these things that we spoke of. And if we can strive to live our lives like Jesus did, like the first deacon did, then we can come to this place where the Lord will say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased to dwell. And you get your degree then. May God bless you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for these few verses that we have looked at. And Father, many a time it may seem, Lord, that it is not possible to live a life like this, but by your Spirit it is possible. And so we are asking this morning that you grant us grace, Lord. Father, that, Lord, our desire may be only one thing, and that is to be like Jesus. May your Spirit come and enable us, Lord, and push out all the dross from within us, that we may be a reflection of this word to the world, Lord. Father, that we may be true ambassadors of thy kingdom. We commit, Lord, ourselves into your hands as we go into the song service. Lord, we pray that you would minister to us, Lord, and that we would shake off everything and go straight into thy presence. And that, Lord, when the word comes, oh, what a sweet time it would be, Lord, that you just speak to us, Lord, and we just be a reflection of that word. We commit the service into your hands, and we ask thy blessing in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.